Wow. All right. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Hope. We like to begin with this greeting Christians have been using for as long as there have been Christians. The Lord be with you. Thank you. The Lord, I believe that's true. Every Sunday when we say that, I believe that it's true, that the Lord is with us. And we're just asking him, God, would you make us aware of your presence with us? Would you help us to notice the fact that you're here, the fact that you're with us? Because he's with us every moment of the day. And it just sometimes takes us, like, slowing down a bit or centering our thoughts or something to realize, wait a minute, he's here right now. I should probably pay attention. So that's my prayer, is that we'll be paying attention to God today. Could we bow our heads and pray and begin with that in mind? God, thank you. Thank you for inviting us here, getting us into this place, out of the cold and snow for a little bit, and out of all the other stuff that occupies our minds all week long. For this next hour, could we give our attention to you, God? That's our desire. So would you help us to do that? Would you help us to pay attention to your voice? And help us, God, to say to you the things that we need to say in prayer, in song. Help us to be honest with you. And then help us to listen as you are honest with us about your love for us, about your grace, about your goodness. Thank you, God, for showing us such love and grace in Jesus Christ. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. 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 Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray. God, we are grateful to you for the love that you have given to us, that you fill our hearts with, that then we are able to share with others. It is amazing to us, God, as we've just been singing, to think that you, our King, our God, the one who made us, that you would love us so much that when you see us stuck in the mess that we made of our lives, when you see us trapped in our sin, when you see us doing what we do best, God, which seems to be taking this life that you've given us and just wrecking it, God. We wreck our own lives. We wreck our relationships with others. We wreck this whole world that you've given us. And in spite of that, God, you see that, and instead of just pushing us aside or writing us off and starting over somewhere else, God, you love us so much that you can't bear to see us suffering like that. And so you come to us in Jesus Christ. You enter our broken and suffering world, and you take our brokenness and suffering on yourself. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Thank you, God, for loving each one of us like that. I pray, God, that you would help us this morning to know ourselves as people loved by you. All the other stuff we have going on, all the other criteria that we measure ourselves by as we make our way through our week. Did we make as much money as the person next to us? Are we wearing as nice a clothes? Did we spend as much time as we think we should have with the people that matter? God, all those different ways that we measure ourselves and so often find ourselves coming up short. God, today, would you help us to know that we are loved by you, that as you look at us, you see us as people of infinite worth to you. You see us as beloved children. And it breaks your heart to see us despairing, to see us living with shame and guilt. It breaks your heart to see us going through life feeling like failures. So God, today we come to you and just honestly admit that, well, we often are failures, God. And we need your forgiveness. We need your grace. We need your love to wash over us today, to fill our hearts. So that in place of the shame and guilt, God, that you can wash that away and instead fill our hearts with your love so that we can be a people who look like Jesus, so we can be people who others would say, wow, I know that's a Christian. Look at the love that they have. They know themselves to be loved by God, and they show such love to others. God, we want your love to be the hallmark of our lives. We want your love to be what people see when they look at us. So help us to experience it, God. Help us today to experience your amazing love that you have for each and every one of us. Break through all the other stories that people have told us, all the lies we believed about our value, our worth, who we are, how we measure up. And help us, God, today to know that we are loved by you. Transform us by this love, God. change us from the inside out. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, the peace of the Lord be with you. Thanks. Let's take a couple minutes to extend that peace to each other. There's somebody here that needs a handshake. They need you to say, good morning, happy Sunday, peace of Christ. All right. Hope everybody got one of those little welcome bulletin things when you came in, let you know what's going on around here this week. Inside there, you see there's a special offering that we're encouraging you to give to this Thanksgiving Christmas season. And one of those you kind of saw right when you walked in, there's a Christmas tree, which some of you might have been offended by that. It's not even Thanksgiving yet. But that Christmas tree is for First Contact. And he'd asked me, normally they show up with that after Thanksgiving and everything. And I said, I'm already talking about it. You can just go ahead and bring it. Because on there are little ornaments, little cards with envelopes that if you want to give to help a neighbor in our community stay warm, stay housed this winter, you can give to First Contact and they'll just stick a stamp on that, drop it in the mail. Or you can bring that envelope and drop it in the box here and we'll get it to them. Or you could give to Housing Opportunities. They run the place next door, as well as dozens and dozens of other low-income housing and emergency shelter here in our community and around Porter County. Or you can give to help with the building. But any of that stuff you want to give to, just extra opportunities to give because it's the end of the year, and some of you are some of you love to do that, and you're curious, like, where can I throw some extra money, right? I'm sure that's what you're all thinking right now, right? Where can I throw some extra money? Who can I give some extra to? Anyway, okay, if that's not you, that's okay, but if that is, and God's moving you to give a little extra this week, that's what you can do. There are several of our things midweek that are taking a break due to the Thanksgiving holiday. One group that did not take a break this past week was our quizzers. I think we've got some pictures up there. They just had a quiz yesterday and did awesome. All I heard this time was quizzers did great. I get a whole breakdown of like who got perfect quizzes and ribbons and trophies and all that stuff. I just heard they did awesome. So good job to the quizzers. Thank you to Annalise Velbar over here who helps lead the quiz team. And good job. These are kids who this school year they give themselves every Wednesday night, except this one. Every Wednesday night they come out and they study scripture together. They memorize verses. They are learning the story of scripture, and it's really really cool. So yeah, there's the five of them that were from our church representing us this last Saturday. Oh, inside there too is a little welcome card. If there's a way we can be praying for you or thanking God with you, or you have a question, jot it on there, drop it in the little offering box back there, and that way I can follow up with you this week. Also, if you're giving, you can drop it in that box, or you can give online. I mentioned last week we're starting to transition to a new online giving platform that soon you'll be able to text to give if you feel like doing it that way. For us, I still link our checking account to it because I'm just old-fashioned that way, but you can give with a credit card and all that stuff. But that's all on the website, livinghope.info, and that'll get you right there. All right. Yeah, so you've got some notes for this morning's message in there, too. This is the Thanksgiving week. I mean, some of you have breaks coming up. Some of you have extra days off this week. And many of people are getting together with family. It's a good week. I love Thanksgiving week. We have Thanksgiving Eve with my folks, and people come in from around all over the place to my parents' house more than ever used to because my one cousin who grew up in California, now works at Olivet Nazarene University, and so they just drive on over. And so, of course, his parents, they want to see their grandkids and stuff Thanksgiving, so they fly in from California or wherever they happen to be in the world at the moment. So we end up with a pretty big crowd at my parents' house, not just me and my family and my sister and her family. But it's expanded in recent years. And Thanksgiving is when we get together with my wife's side of the family and Thanksgiving Eve, too, is like friends in town. They have a party, and we try to get to it, but it's nearly impossible now with twin boys who go to bed at 7:30. But anyway, I'm guessing some of you have some moments this week where you're going to have an extra time to pause and to give thanks, and that's what this morning is a chance to do. We're in this series on finding financial freedom, and one big part of breaking free of the grip that money has on us is moving toward contentment and away from the stuff that we're being bombarded by this week. The consumerism, the you need this new thing, and it's been marked down, and Black Friday starts yesterday or whenever it's starting. I've gotten emails saying Black Friday deals start now. You know, I mean, they've been doing them for like a week already at some places. Everybody wants us to buy something new and to compare what we have now with that new shiny thing. And of course, our old dusty thing doesn't look nearly as nice as that new shiny thing, right? And so, of course, we need that new shiny thing. And if I buy it now, I'm going to get a deal. It's going to be less. Of course, a month from now, you know, it's going to be the same price probably, you know. New year, they're already going to have a next new shiny thing for you to buy. But, you know, we're being bombarded. In our culture, we're continually bombarded by advertisements saying, what I have is not good enough. I need something more. And so a couple weeks ago, you got there at the top of your notes. If we want to find financial freedom, there are three spiritual shifts that will help us to get there. Last week, we looked at that first one, from mind to managing, realizing, look, this all belongs to God. It's His stuff. It's His money. I'm just managing it during this brief time that I have here. It all comes from God. It's all going back to God eventually. And even if you don't believe in God this morning, if you're like, I'm not sure about the whole God thing, you know that you didn't like arrive in this world with a bunch of stuff. And when you leave, you're not taking it with you. I mean, you might have inherited some stuff, but when you leave, someone else is going to get to play with that. Stacy and I just, again, this last couple of weeks, finally got our wills signed. And, you know, that's that reminder, like, yep, someday somebody's going to have to look at this thing. Then she's telling me, I got to get a safe deposit box. We put that in there. I don't know what to do with that. Anyway, it's just a piece of paper someplace. Somebody sometime is going to be asking, do they have a will? Because, you know, they're gone, and we need to know what to do with their stuff. We only manage it for a brief time. We talked about that last week. Today, we're looking at that second one, from consumerism to contentment. And the third, that next Sunday, from just being passive about it to actually being purposeful. What is the reason that God has given me this stuff? Why do I have more than I need? We'll talk about that next week. And hint, it's not so that we can just spend it all on bigger TVs or newer cars or whatever. A couple weeks ago, when we were getting into this, this verse from 1 Timothy was one that popped up. We're going to look at a couple of these, and then we're going to look at one passage from the Apostle Paul, that actually the passage that Mary read from earlier, this man who a couple thousand years ago said, I have learned the secret to being content. So we're going to look at his secret and how he discovered that and what we can do to experience contentment instead of that constant drive for more. But in his letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul wrote, godliness with contentment is great gain. It's a big win. For we brought nothing into the world, we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we'll be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. He's so graphic in his imagery here. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. And just so you know, that pierced themselves with many griefs, that's not like a body piercing, you know, kind of a image. The pierced themselves is like an arrow through the heart kind of. It's a hunting image, all right? I've had friends that have been in Michigan this past week, and they're holding up pictures of, you know, the bucks that they got bow hunting. That's the kind of pierced that we're talking about here. He says, people who love money, who want to be rich, who don't feel like they haven't, who haven't learned the secret of contentment, says they have a tendency to pierce themselves with many griefs. They're shooting themselves with an arrow, shooting themselves in the foot, in the heart, shooting themselves through with grief, because it's not a way to live. That's not a way to enjoy life. It's always wanting more. Instead, he says it's a big win if we can find this contentment thing. That's why thousands of years ago, in the book of Proverbs, we've got this. This is ancient Hebrew wisdom literature that says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God. He says, I don't want to have so much that I'm like, who's God? I did this. And we talked about that some last week. I don't want to have so little that I might be tempted to steal and might give in to that temptation and dishonor God by stealing from somebody else. He says, just God, would you just give me my daily bread? That's a sentiment that made its way into the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, taught his disciples to pray, that we pray every Sunday here. You know, give us this day our daily bread. When we pray that, we're saying, God, I don't need a lot, but please, would you help meet my needs so that I have enough, so that I can be content. All right, in Philippians chapter 4, this is the passage where Paul says this about this secret of being content, of feeling like he has enough. And I wanted to start a few verses before he says that with these verses that have become kind of central to us in our life here at Living Hope over the years. I use this each and every time I get together with a group of folks, like at a nursing home or something, which I find myself doing more and more of these days, leading a Bible study or leading a service. I always start our brief little half-hour time together by asking people, like, what are some things you're thanking God for? And what are some things we need to be praying about? And quoting this verse that we put on the back of our bulletins every Sunday, with along with all those things we're praying for and thanking God for. Philippians chapter 4, he says, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he's done. Then you'll experience God's peace, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Now, usually, we like at the back of the bulletin, we just stop it. Then you'll experience God's peace. And we stop there. We stop with that reminder that, look, instead of worrying about stuff, we could pray. You know, we've got a God who loves us and invites us to talk to him about the things that we need, because he's a God who loves to meet our needs and to provide for us. But in the middle of that, we need to make sure that we are thanking him for all he's done. That's what another translation says, that with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. Yes, let God know what you need. Don't be afraid to tell your Heavenly Father, God, I really need this. This is something if I do without this, I'm going to be hurting. It's going to be tough this week if I don't get this from you. Whether that's a financial resource or some guidance and direction or some peace or whatever it might be, tell God what you need and do that with thanksgiving. Remember to thank God for all that he's done. But I love the fact that he continues then to say this peace exceeds anything we can understand. He says this isn't always going to make sense, this peace that we experience. This peace that God gives is going to be sometimes in the midst of really trying circumstances. And you're going to have friends looking at you and saying, whoa, why are you so chill? What's going on? What are you taking these days? Who are you seeing? I need to find out more about that. You're like, no. I've been talking to God about it. Yeah, we're in a rough time right now. You know, some of you were pretty stressed out until pretty recently about contracts getting signed and things like that. And it's like, you know, when all your coworkers, when all your classmates, when the people around you are flipping out about something, and you are just like, oh, you know, I've got this peace. I know it doesn't make a lot of sense. Things are still up in the air, but I've got this confidence that God is with me. I've been talking to God about it, and God's just given me this assurance, this peace that says, you know, it's going to be okay. And in part of that is the giving God thanks for all he's done. This peace guards our hearts and minds, protects us against that anxiety, and I believe protects us against that dissatisfaction, helps us to be content when we're thanking God in the middle of whatever our circumstances might be. I don't know what your traditions are with Thanksgiving. I'm not even sure what ours are. I thought I knew, but then last year I was kind of paying attention, like, I don't remember us doing this now. What I think I remember is that when we would get together and the family would all be around the table, that we would go around and each of us share something we were thanking God for. Did we do that? Like, yeah, kind of. My sister's here today, and she's like, yeah, more or less. Yeah, we do that. But I know that's probably not a tradition for all of us. We do that every Wednesday night here at the Bible study because I think it's important. But maybe that's a tradition you want to start this year. Maybe this year when you're sitting down with whoever you're sitting down with, maybe you say, you know what, this is Thanksgiving, right? My pastor on Sunday just encouraged me to make sure that I'm giving thanks to God for all that he's done, that this is good for us. So it's Thanksgiving. You know what I'm thanking God for? And share something you're thanking God for. And you can just ask the person that you're sitting with, or whoever, you can say, hey, you know what, could we just go around and share something that we're thanking God for? And I would encourage you to use that language, to say something we're thanking God for. Now, if you're sitting with a bunch of folks that they're like anti-God or anti-church or something, you could just say something that you're thankful for, something you're grateful for, and leave it ambiguous about, well, who am I thankful to? But I would encourage you to go ahead and just say, what are you thanking God for? Because it reminds us, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm thanking God for this. I'm not just having a general sense of I'm grateful for all I enjoy, but I'm recognizing that this comes from God. I'm thanking God for what he's done, what he's provided this past year, this past week. So maybe you want to try that. Somebody, the traditions don't just, like, happen. Somebody has to get that ball rolling. So maybe that's a tradition that you're going to start this week. He continues in here. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. He's wrapping up his letter. He's getting close. fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. He says, these are the kinds of things you ought to be thinking about. He says, keep putting into practice all you learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing, then the God of peace will be with you. It's another promise then the God of peace will be with you. And I'm guessing that one of the things Paul did that he's encouraging you to put into practice is what he's just described. That Paul's saying, look, when I was with you, you didn't see me focusing on the negative. You didn't see me focusing on all the difficulty. And he's, just a reminder, Paul's writing this letter from prison, if you didn't know that. He's been arrested for telling the good news about Jesus, and he talks about that in the first couple chapters. He talks about that in the bit we're going to get to in just a moment. But he's not sitting there saying, woe is me, oh, why is God not helping me out of this sooner? He's looking for the positive. He's looking for the good. He's realizing that even now, and he celebrates this earlier in Philippians, that even because of these chains, other people are out there telling people the good news, spreading the good news about Jesus. They're like, oh man, Paul's locked up. Who's going to continue that work? Oh, we could. And people are getting out there and they're telling other people about Jesus because I'm in chains and I'm locked up. I get to talk to all these people, you know, the people in Caesar's household, the people that are my guards and all the people that are, you know, responsible for me here. They got to sit out there. They can't walk away. They've got to be guarding me. I get to talk to them about Jesus. I've got a captive audience. I'm captive, but they're captive too. I get to talk to them about Jesus. He's like, this is great. He looks for the positive. He looks for something to thank God for. He looks for the way that God is at work, even in the midst of sometimes horrible circumstances. Just as I was reading this about fixing our thoughts on what's true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and good and all this, I was thinking back to the season we've just come out of with the election and all those flyers I was getting in the mail, so many of which were not about how wonderful a person is, but were on how terrible that person would be. And don't you dare vote for them because, oh my goodness, they would take the country or the state or the county or whatever to hell in a handbasket. You know, it would just be awful looking for the worst about other people instead of saying, you know what, what's good? What's true? What's honorable? What's right? What's pure? What's lovely? What is admirable? Let's think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise instead of things that are worthy of condemnation and worthy of derision and worthy of putting an ugly postcard out. If today, if you've been struggling, like, I'm not sure what I should be thanking God for, maybe you use that little list. Maybe you use that list to say, well, what kinds of things in life are good? Is there anything admirable? Is there somebody in my life that I admire? Maybe I could thank God for them and for what it is about them that makes them so admirable. Is there something something that's worthy of praise? Something that I'm like, yeah, let's celebrate that. That, you know, I would give that thing a 5-star, that restaurant, that person, that business, I would rate them highly. Total 2 thumbs up. Let's celebrate that. Let's thank God for that. Something that's honorable, something that's right, pure, lovely, true, good. Let's think about those things. That's what this week is for. This Thanksgiving week is for thinking about the good things and thanking God for those good things. In years past, I've encouraged you to maybe, and I'm going to try this again starting today, from today through the end of the year, to every day on Facebook, just put a couple of things that I'm thankful for. I've seen some people doing it already. I think they started at the beginning of November, maybe. It's like a 30-day gratitude journal kind of thing, a day number or whatever in there, something they're thanking God for today. And I'm going to start doing that. So if you're friends with me on Facebook and you see a day go by and I haven't done that, shoot me a message or shame me somehow publicly, all right? And say, Rich, I don't see, what are you thanking God for today? And I'll be thanking God for your reminder probably at that point. But I would love for us, we don't do this real often these days, but I would love for us just to take a moment right now. You've got a little blank space there in your notes. Let's just take a minute for you to jot down maybe 3 things. We'll give you like 2 or 3 minutes. You could get a big long list going in 2 or 3 minutes, but just grab a pen or a pencil and just write down 2 or 3 things that you're thanking God for. Maybe you use that as a starter, that idea starter, that list he gave there. But I'm going to stop talking so you can start writing. All right? Go. Go ahead. Can you bring a little music up and we can just lightly? Yeah. All right. Some of you, it sounds like, have already started, but go ahead and take a minute and just share something with the people near you, the people at your table, or if you're sitting in the chairs, just turn to them and just share one of those things. And let's bring the music down a little bit so people can hear each other a little better. Share with them one thing that you're thanking God for. All right. It is not that hard for us to think of things that we're thankful for if we pause long enough to do it. And I'm convinced that if we can make this the pattern of our lives, that expressing gratitude to God, thanking God for what He's provided for us, that this is one of those things that kind of breaks the chains of consumerism, of wanting more, of dissatisfaction, because we find ourselves thinking not of so much of all those things, not focused on all those things we're missing, but we find ourselves focused on all those things that we're already blessed with, all those ways that God has provided, all those things that we enjoy in our life as it is. And so when that thing comes along, like, well, I could have that new thing, I guess. Can we afford that? Do we need that? You know, I'm pretty happy already. You know, I'm already pretty content with how life is. I don't feel like I need that thing to feel content. And of course, we all know that thing doesn't provide contentment anyway. That thing, whatever it might be, we buy it, we break it, we're still paying for it, and then it's just more frustration anyway most of the time. All right, he continues in Philippians chapter 4. I want us to read the next few verses. He says, "How I praise the Lord that you're concerned about me again. I know you've always been concerned for me, but you didn't have the chance to help me. Not that I was ever in need, for I have learned how to be content with whatever I have." This is the passage here where he starts in that, learn the secret of being content. He says, "I have learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Even so, you've done well to share with me in my present difficulty." The reason he's writing this letter is because the Philippians have sent a gift to Paul. While he's there in prison, they've sent him a gift, and this is his thank you letter, sending it back to them saying, "Thank you for thinking of me. Thank you for being generous toward me. It's not that I was in need. It's not that I was, you know, unhappy, because I've learned how to be content with whatever I have." He says, whether I've got a lot or little, I've learned. It's like a secret that I've stumbled across. And again, I think that secret, that way that he has learned to be content, is all those things we've just been talking about. That whether he's got a lot or little, he thanks God in the midst of it, and he turns to God with his needs. This isn't a don't pretend you don't have any needs kind of a thing. He says, no, one of the things I'm thankful for is I've got a God who cares about me, a God who's with me, a God who can do something about my needs when I have them. But I don't live with this sense of like unrest, this sense of like, ugh, life's not good. He lives with a sense of contentment, no matter what he has, thanks to Christ. So I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. That's a verse that you've probably seen a lot. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That's the kind of thing that gets put on plaques and bumper stickers and t-shirts and all that stuff. And we pull that verse out of context and we make it about all sorts of things. But the thing Paul was saying with it, saying, look, I can be content no matter what. It doesn't matter what my circumstances. Christ enables me to be content, to be thankful, to live no matter what. I've got a lot or a little, I can do it. Even so, he says, you've done well to share with me. Thank you. He's thanking them. So I did want to say right here about contentment. Sometimes I think some of you might have this view too, I don't know. Sometimes we think that being content means we can't be driven. That being content means, well, I can't get content because if I get content, then I'm not going to strive to achieve. I mean, I need that. I need to strive to achieve in business and in life. Maybe you're kind of a competitive person. You're like, you're always trying to do better than you did last year, or do better than your competitors. You're trying to move forward. And sometimes I think we can think, well, I can't do that and be content. If I was content with what I had, I wouldn't try to grow my business. If I was content with what I had, I wouldn't try to take new ground. If I was content with what I had, I wouldn't try to improve and get better. But I don't think that's what Paul's talking about, because just like a couple chapters earlier, he's talking about how he strives for forgetting what's behind and striving for what's ahead. I strive to take hold of that goal for which Christ has taken hold of me. I mean, he's got goals. Paul is like a driven kind of guy. He's wanting to share the good news all around the Mediterranean world. It frustrates him when he can't do what he wants to do. This contentment thing does not mean you can't also be driven. You can't also have goals. You can't also achieve. You can't also be somebody who accomplishes great things. He's saying that, but he does that at the same time that he realizes, but you know what? My needs are taken care of. I've got a God who loves me. I think it has to do more with like what I'm pushing forward for. That he's got a mission that he's a part of that doesn't have anything to do with just enriching himself, just piling up a bigger pile of stuff. And he's content with what he's got. And he's driven for the mission that God has given him. So just in case that's in the back of anyone's mind saying, no, I can't, I reject contentment because I need to be always achieving, always pushing forward. You can have both, all right? You can have both. You just have to think about, okay, why am I trying to achieve this? Is it just to make myself richer and have more for me? Or am I trying to have more? Am I trying to accomplish more because of the difference that that's going to make and because of the difference I can make? Maybe it is a money-making thing, and I'm gonna do this thing so that I can have more money so that I can do what with it? That's what we talk about next week, the impact that we can make. But today, as he continues, he says, as you know, you Philippians were the only ones who gave me financial help when I first brought you the good news and then traveled on from Macedonia. No other church did this. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent help more than once. I don't say this because I want a gift from you. Rather, I want you to receive a reward for your kindness. At the moment, I have all I need and more. I'm generously supplied with the gifts you sent me with Epaphroditus. They are a sweet-smelling sacrifice that's acceptable and pleasing to God. And this same God who takes care of me will supply all your needs from his glorious riches, which have been given to us in Christ Jesus. Now all glory to God our Father forever and ever. Amen. And that's how he wraps up that thought before tacking on a couple personal greetings at the end of his letter. I wanted to just highlight that verse 19 there. This same God who takes care of me will supply your needs out of his glorious riches. It's tying right into what we talked about last week. God owns it all. And God can provide for our needs. He can take care of us so we can trust him. He's the one who's responsible. We're just managing his stuff for the time we've got it here. And so if I manage his stuff according to his directions, okay, great. He's going to take care of me. He's given me all that I need in Christ Jesus. That's a mind blower right there, the whole in Christ Jesus thing and some of the things he said earlier. But if you really want your mind blown, realize that God owns it all. And now we've been adopted into his family, and so it kind of all belongs to us. But that's a whole different mind-blowing conversation we're not prepared to have today. All right. This week, as we move toward the Thanksgiving holiday, this week, as we are bombarded with ads telling us we need to buy this other thing, and of course, we can't just buy things for others. You know, I get good Christmas deals as you're giving Christmas gifts, great. But of course, that's also the time that we're like putting things on our wish list for people to buy us and what we're wanting for ourselves. And I'll buy two for you and one for me, you know, whatever. This week, as we are surrounded by things saying, you need more, you need more, you need more, may we experience the love and the grace of God. May we find ourselves thanking God for what we already have to the point that we realize, you know what, God, you have given me all that I need. May we find ourselves content and breaking free of the trap that so many around us get sucked into. Let's go ahead and bow our heads and pray. We're going to celebrate communion together before we go. Thank you, God, for the great love you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Thank you for all of the riches, all of your blessings, all of your grace, all of your love. And God, frankly, thank you for all of the material possessions that you have dropped into our lap as well. We are very blessed. On a global scale, God, you know, we're most of us in this room, we're like in the top 10% or the top 1%. God, we are blessed. We have more than we need. So God, we pray that you would help us to recognize this and to give you thanks for it. Help us not to live our lives with a sense of bitterness or frustration or wishing or envy or jealousy as we look at things other people have and we don't. Help us not to live with that dissatisfaction of wishing we had what's in that advertisement. God, help us to live our lives grateful to you for the many blessings that you have poured out. So that then we can take that extra that you've given us and do something better with it. Bless the people around us. Show your love and your grace to more and more people. Thank you, God. Thank you for this sacrament of communion that we get to participate in together with Christians around the world. As we offer you these gifts of bread and juice, we are reminded of the sacrifice that Christ made. We pray that by your Spirit's presence here, we might meet our risen Savior in his body and in his blood. As we sang earlier, God, it is still amazing. How can it be that you, my King, would die for me? Thank you for loving us this much, for giving your life for us. To set us free from the burden of shame and guilt and sin. Set us free from the power that sin has had over us. God, you want to set us free. So help us to experience that freedom and that grace as we confess to you that, God, we have not lived this life as we should. We have not been faithful with what you've entrusted to us. We have ignored your direction. We've gone our own way. And so many times we have suffered the consequences. Others have suffered the consequences of our sinful, selfish decisions. God, today we acknowledge this all to you. We confess to you our sins. And we give you thanks that in Jesus Christ, you offer us grace and mercy, forgiveness. And as your word says, we confess our sins to you. You are faithful, you are just, you forgive us our sins, and you cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You wash us and make us clean as we trust in you. So today, God, we come to you with honesty. Honest about our need of your grace and forgiveness. And we thank you. We thank you for the truth of your love and your grace. I pray, God, that that truth would penetrate our hearts and minds, that we would know ourselves to be forgiven, to be washed clean, that we would know ourselves to be embraced and adopted into your family as your sons and daughters. I pray, God, that as we offer ourselves to you, that you might fill us with your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, so that we might live in this world as the body of Christ, as your hands and as your feet. Thank you, God, for this amazing love you've shown us. Thank you for all you have given us. You have given us yourself in your Holy Spirit. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you pray with me the prayer Jesus taught us? Our Father, who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. The band's going to come lead us in one last song as we celebrate communion together. I'll be here with a basket of bread and a cup of juice. And as we sing, you're invited to come forward, take bread from the basket, dip it in the juice, and eat it, and then return to your seats. This is open to all of us who are saying yes to Jesus today. All of us who are hungry for his grace, who are grateful for his love. You don't have to have been through any special class or process to come today. If today you're saying, okay, God, I need your love, I need your grace. If today you're saying yes to Jesus, you're invited to come. No pressure to participate, but the table has been set and you're invited. Let's give him thanks. You have blessed us, God, with the love and the grace that you've shown us in Jesus Christ. Fill us with the Spirit, we pray, so that as we leave this place, we might leave as people not only filled with gratitude toward you for all of your many blessings, but the people who are willing then to share that grace and that blessing with the people you send us to. Thank you, God. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Go in peace.